Okay, everybody, we're about to get started. We have got a special treat for you. Now, I'm employed, I have a job, so I actually don't partake in this kind of thing, but apparently many of you without jobs do listen to these guys. We have here Mike Maddox and Jamie Crane for what is perhaps the most anticipated event in Porkfest history, special Porkfest 2012 edition of Wheels Off Liberty!
Hi, everybody. My name is Brett Vinat, and I'm probably best known for being a temporary fill-in co-host on Wheels Off Liberty in 2011. Can I see, just show of hands, who's familiar with this podcast? Well, I have some bad news, some worse news, and some terrible news to share with you tonight. First of all, about 5 days ago, Mike and Jamie announced that they were not going to come to Porkfest. The same day, interestingly enough, they announced that they were no longer doing Wheels Off Liberty podcast. So I guess that makes you ready for the terrible news. Mike Maddox and Jamie Crane. I know this is going to, really upset some people, and I know this is not something we ever thought would be possible. Mike Maddox and Jamie Crane were working for the United States federal government. Now, I know, this is probably part of the bit. They're probably doing a bit, right? I don't do bits. I was the straight man on this show. I'm not here tonight to do bits. So if you're here for some, first of all, are there any kids here? They should leave. Anyone under 30? Okay, yeah. Anyone under 30 should leave. If you're just here for a few silly dick jokes and that kind of thing, and you laugh about midget hookers, there's the door. Okay? There's no dick jokes tonight. If you are ready to confront with me a truth so rock hard that it will blow your head, that's what we're going to do. Because the deeper I looked into this story, like, it's one thing to find out that people are helping out the U.S. government. There might be some people here tonight helping them. But once I really started to dig down, what I found, I could not even believe. Does anyone notice that the Wheels Off Liberty within the last couple months changed their logo? Raise your hand if you've seen the new Wheels Off Liberty logo. Did anyone notice that it's the same logo that Skull and Bones uses? That's how deep this goes. But this was a conspiracy so massive and so monstrous that I just don't have the brain for this. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. So tonight, joining me on the stage, a very special guest who's going to help me process one of the most mind-blowing conspiracies that I've ever faced in my life. Making his Porkfest debut, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Alex Jones.
Friends, I want to invite you to our very special live emergency broadcast here at Porkfest 2012 on this 22nd day of June. as we go inside the tyranny that was brought into your homes each and every podcast that was developed by the so-called Mike Maddox, Jamie Crane, and the Wheels Off Liberty. I want to thank Brett Vinant for the wonderful introduction to our show tonight. Brett, it's so good to have you here.
Thank you, Alex.
Brett, I know that there was a time when you got very close to the shills of the New World Order that were known as the Wheels Off Liberty, trying to take away our rights, steering us into tyranny. I'm sorry, I get a little carried away sometimes.
It's understandable. I went through this kind of anger myself.
Brett, I know it's a very hard row for you to hoe in coming clean with exposing the lizard Jews that are the New World Order, that are Wheels Off Liberty. And I want you to go ahead and begin your story. Ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening here to the show and watching us on prisonplanet.com, which is available to you by subscription for only $99.95 a day, you can watch us as well. Brett, begin this evil tale of the maggot filth that is the Wheels Off Liberty.
Well, Alex, the story is interesting how it begins. In addition to being a host of Wheels Off Liberty and also the host of School Sucks Podcast, I am a traveling businessman and for international business, and that often takes me to Ardmore, Oklahoma, which is a real hub for international businessy types of things.
I'm going to cut you off for just a moment.
Sure.
About Ardmore, Oklahoma. Only an area like that could develop a Jamie Crane.
That's true. And I'm walking down the street one day, and I hear a rustling in the alley, and I hear this voice, and it kind of sounds like familiar, right?
Right.
But it's like Chef from The Muppet Show if he had a southern accent. But it's incoherent. It's incoherent.
I'm going to stop you for just a moment and make sure that our audience is very aware. The voice that he's talking about goes something like this. Hi, y'all. I'm Jamie Crane. Would that be a correct representation?
It was that voice, but it was not speaking in complete sentences. It just sounded like he was, mumbling. Like the chef from The Muppet Show. That's what it sounded like. So I turned into the alley, and I went down to investigate. And there he is. And he's just lying in sitting Indian style, rather, in a pile of garbage. And he's talking to himself. He looks as if he's been there for days. And right away, I come to the conclusion this man is either drunk or on drugs. This was in 2010, right? So we had never met. I approached him and I said, Jamie, I'm Brett Vinant. We have shows together on the Liberty Radio Network.
Right, because you had taken over at that time for Mike Maddox, who suddenly quickly disappeared from the show.
Yeah.
So suddenly it was you and Jamie that were doing it.
Yeah, we'll have to get to that as well. But what had happened was I am in the alley with him. I'm trying to explain this to him, and he just turns and gives me this 1,000-yard stare with his mouth agape. And it seems like it's endless, right? And he's looking through me. And then all of a sudden, he just says, oh, dude, let's do a podcast. So he says, I see him start rustling around in the garbage. And he says, I just got to get my laptop ready. And I'm thinking that he's drunk or on drugs. So he then takes out an empty pizza box and opens it and says, well, I just got to set up the mics. And he thinks that an empty pizza box is his laptop and we are going to record a podcast together.
He was that incredibly confused during
yes.
this meeting with you. I want to welcome you once again here tonight to the Wheels Off Liberty. And we're talking with Mr. Brett Vinant as he goes inside and in deep and exposes them for the shills that they are of the New World Order. Continue, Brett.
So at this point, I come to the conclusion that Jamie Crane was not drunk. He had not found himself in this alley by choice. He had been drugged by somebody and left there. But that's not where the story begins.
No, how far back does the story go?
It goes way back. Where can we start? In the 1950s.
This is a good place to stop. I can hear the music. We've got to go to a break real quick. I'm Alex Jones. Hi, friends. I'm Alex Jones. And I want to tell you about Lifeline Soap. When the New World Order takes over and the Bilderbergs are dancing on graves, showers will be scarce. But you can smell fresh and repopulate the earth by using Lifeline Soap. I'm Alex Jones, and that's why I smell like this. Hi, friends. We're back with our emergency live broadcast from Porkfest 2012 on this June 22nd. We're talking with Brett Vinott, formerly a host of the Wheels Off Liberty, who is exposing them for the insiders of the federal government and the Illuminati lizard Jews that they truly are. Brett Vinott, when we last left, you had talked about running into Jamie Crane, who was laying in an alley after defecating himself and trying to record into a pizza box, and you say it goes back to the 1950s with this operation that became the New World Order and Wheels Off Liberty.
Well, sure. We lived in a very different kind of world 60 years ago. It wasn't until the Red Scare that I think there was this increased paranoia in society. People used to leave their cars and their doors unlocked and didn't really fear for their neighbors. But we see this, through the 1960s, this increasing paranoia. And we also see all of these, protest groups and revolutionary groups spring up related to civil rights and the Vietnam protests. And most people know that in the late 60s and early 1970s, the United States federal government initiates something called COINTELPRO.
Right. I'm very familiar with the term. In fact, I think I'm the one who originated it.
Oh, okay. Sure. And COINTELPRO is designed to infiltrate and discredit radical groups. And in the early 1970s, after the Vietnam War protests had died down, and after the civil rights movement has halted, they're not going to stop, right? Because government programs don't go away.
Of course not, because once the government gets a stronghold into our lives, the tyranny continues to grow from the inside out and takes a hold of us all with this terrible stranglehold, wanting to make us collapse into the filth and the mess. I'm sorry, I get a little carried away. Brett, could you please continue?
Sure, I agree, though. That's true. Anyway, so at this point, with nowhere to turn, there's a burgeoning new political movement called libertarianism in the early 1970s. And this really scares the powers that be. They say, if this catches on, and it should catch on with anybody who can, put their pants on forward and drive a car down the right side of the street. It's pretty simple. They should be able to get these ideas.
Right, right.
Exactly. We're going to be out of business. We're going to be in big trouble. Unfortunately, they had underestimated the efficacy of the government school system in the United States, and people didn't go for libertarianism. They thought it was a joke. The candidates would get less than 1% in national elections. And they realized that this project that they had initiated that grew out of COINTELPRO, designed to discredit libertarianism, codename So Erotic, could be put on hold. It wasn't needed at this point because Americans were still too dumb to accept libertarianism anyway. It wasn't until 2007, when the first we have the success of the Ron Paul campaign, and also we have the growth of something called the Free State Project.
Right.
In New Hampshire.
Right here in New Hampshire. I'd like to give a nice shout out for the Free Staters. It's so nice to be amongst all of you. Usually I'm in my bunker in Austin, but tonight I was able to come here and see all of your faces. First of all, Brett, before you continue the story, I do want to say real quick, have you noticed that I've been working out? I'm spending a lot of time on the treadmill in the morning and really pumping some iron. Charlie Sheen comes over from time to time. We grease each other up, and it feels real good.
That's good. It's good for you. And it might lower your stress a little bit, too.
I can never have my stress lowered as long as the filth and slime of the New World Order are trying to take our children and sodomize them and use them as slaves. I'm sorry, I get a little carried away. I get a little carried away sometimes.
So where were we? Let's see. So with the growth of the Free State Project, with lots of new signers reaching 10,000, the momentum of the Ron Paul campaign, they say we better kick this effort to discredit the libertarian movement into high gear. and Project So Erotic manifests as the Wheels Off Liberty podcast, entirely designed to discredit the libertarian movement.
This does not surprise me at all, and it's not in the least surprising that they used a term like so erotic in their operation, because this is what the New World Order does. They sexualize the content of our day-to-day lives and try to make us into animals like sheep so they can put us into their pens and keep us tied up and make us the little slaves at their feet going, bah, bah, yes, master, yes. Would that be a good way to describe it? Our guest tonight, Brett Vinat.
I would do it in a slightly less alarmist way.
Well, because of that, Brett, I'm going to have to cut you off real quick. I can hear the music in my ear. Okay. I want to go to another commercial. And joining Brett Vinat tonight will be another former co-host of the Wheels Off Liberty. We're going to be calling him up shortly because I think he can also shed some new insight into the shills, the maggots, the filth that they are. Jamie Crane and Mike Maddox exposed right here. I'm Alex Jones. Hi, friends. I'm Alex Jones. Warning you that when Camp FEMA opens its gates, boredom will overtake us all. Once our families are ripped apart. And that's why you need my new DVD, So, Now I Live in a FEMA Camp. It will feature scenes of what we miss from our daily lives, swimming pools, amusement parks, even strip clubs. Live vicariously through these scenes while enslaved by the New World Order. So, Now I Live in a FEMA Camp. Available now in the InfoWars store. I'm Alex Jones. Welcome back, friends. I'm Alex Jones. We're talking tonight to Brett Vinat. He's a former co-host of the much-beloved Wheels Off Liberty podcast, which many of you thought was nothing but a couple of drunken, oaky sodomites who were trying in their best oaky way to spread liberty. When we know, in fact, it was actually nothing but a design of the New World Order. And we're proud, pleased, and privileged tonight to welcome, along with Brett Vinat, another former co-host, Mr. Taryn Lupo.
Thank you, Alex, for having me on your show.
You're very welcome, Taryn. First of all, I want to tell you the beard looks great.
Thank you.
The last time you and I were together, you didn't have the beard.
That's true. I needed one. I was starting my whole prepping routine, and your vitamins have really helped. I appreciate that.
You're very, very welcome, and that's the thing. You have to turn to all of the supplements, all of the great things that I have. Some people say that I'm a shill, and they like to say that I'm hawking too many products. These products will save your lives.
It's true.
Now, Taryn, we've been talking to Brett about the undercover operation. Well, that was formerly known as So Erotic, later changed to Wheels Off Liberty, featuring Jamie Crane and Mike Maddox. You spent a lot of time with them. You took a lot of ridicule at their hands about being a sodomite, possum-screwing sort of hippie. Would that be a good way to describe the welcome that you received from these gentlemen?
Yeah, Alex, that's accurate. I kind of first understood Operation So Erotic when something troubled me. Jamie called me one time, and he was driving down, you know, in Oklahoma, and he's calling me, and he's telling me a tornado is chasing him. A tornado is chasing him, and then the phone goes off, and he gets slammed into the tree, and I don't know if you remember on our show, he disappeared for like an entire day. But something doesn't sit right. What do you think that's about?
Well, I know exactly what that's about. It's HARP. There's no doubt about it. It's HARP. Crane probably created the tornado himself through HARP in order to get away. Is that the way you're seeing it, Taryn Lupo?
If you mean a 12-pack of HARP, yes. That's exactly what that is.
He does seem to be a bit of an alcoholic, which is something else that the New World Order wants us all to be.
Well, it's interesting, if I can just interject right here. That
you may.
We're kind of dismissing this idea that it was HARP, not the beer, but the giant project to control the weather. Now, would New World Order controllers use HARP against Jamie Crane? That seems so implausible based on what we know right now. But unfortunately, Jamie was groomed for this position to be the number one discreditor of the libertarian movement in the United States from childhood. Or he was at least watched and then put into this position. He was guided. But initially, they found Jamie very difficult to work with.
Yeah, I find that surprising because he's just so dumb.
His operators complained he was hard to control. Very, very hard to control. And I'm just as much a victim as anyone else. I mean, I had a successful show. I had friends. I had money. And Jamie Crane and Mike Maddox introduced me to things. I used to not drink. They made me drink. I used to really not understand much. And they just took it to a whole nother level where, you know, they introduced me to the hookers and the midgets and the donkeys.
This has been particularly hard on Taryn.
I know this is very hard for you to come clean, Taryn Lupo. But I'd like for you to tell us about the time that Jamie Crane took you to his farm.
Oh, that was a magical night. Lots of squealing, some fur. But all he kept talking about, he took me back to his room. And it was kind of, he said he was inspired by Michael Jackson, how he had a real secret room.
Right.
He had a secret room like that, and he showed me the videos where they infiltrated. There's a Bohemian Grove, and they showed me what they did to that big statue of the owl.
The one that is incredibly close to Moloch, which we know is a symbol of Satan, as they put on their robes and urinate on the trees with their magic chants and burning babies. I'm Alex Jones, and I've been to Bohemian Grove.
I know you have,
I'm sorry,
Alex,
I get a little carried away.
And it's, I know you have to digress. What happens is they showed me this video, and Mike blindfolded this poor owl, this statue, and Jamie had his way with him, and it just totally took me back to my prom. And I don't know what... I've never been the same since I've seen these things.
There's a piece of this story, Alex, that's missing. Like I was saying before, Jamie was difficult to work with, and for one example, they thought it would be easy to pull him in, being from Oklahoma. They approached him about this mission, and they just said, don't you, you know, it's the patriotic thing to do. You can help your country.
Right.
But another thing, and just to get a sense of how dumb he is, they said, don't you want to have a purpose? Don't you want to have a purpose? And he kept thinking that they were saying, don't you want to have a porpoise? And so he said, yeah, I always wanted to have a porpoise. And so then... they have this whole bureaucratic mess starts where they don't think they can take the project forward unless they can get Jamie Crane a porpoise. And all of this stuff comes up from his past. It turns out when he was younger, his parents took him to SeaWorld and he showed his penis to a seal. And
that makes sense.
So they're like, we don't even know if it's safe to have you around animals. And he tries to rationalize it. He's like, that was a long time ago. I was only 17.
And that's where the whole missing testicle incident came in. It was terrible.
Right.
I can understand
but
that.
It's at this point where they realize just how incredibly unmanageable Jamie is by himself. Now, he has a good heart. He has, an approachable face. But he is catastrophic in every other area of life. So they realize that they will not be able to use him as the discreditor. You know, his pulling him in for his approachability, but also... using him for his offensiveness and repulsiveness. So at this point, they need to give him a handler.
And that handler would be?
His real name could be anything, but Michael Maddox is what we know him as.
That's the only thing we know of him. He goes by the handle of Mike Maddox. As Brett Vinat said, he could be known as anything. Even through all of the great research that I and Paul Joseph Watson have done, we can't discover his real name.
Darker and darker.
This is a great place to break, Taryn Lupo. Please don't get in the way of my advertisers. It's the way that I keep my family fed.
My family loves your food.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. You're listening to me, Alex Jones. Hi, friends. It's Alex Jones. Are you prepared for the takeover of the New World Order? Our friends at Go Down on Me Bomb Shelters want to help. Their shelters are built to fit any needs, singles, families, and now introducing cult sizes. Go Down on Me Bomb Shelters, endorsed by me, Alex Jones. It's where I live. Go down like me, Alex Jones. We're back with our emergency live broadcast from Porkfest 2012 on this June 22nd. in beautiful New Hampshire. But no matter how beautiful it is, I can feel the Bilderbergers. I can feel the Rothschilds. I can feel the lizard Jews. I saw a squirrel the other day. At least that's what they tell me. I said, that's a lizard Jew. And the people I was with said, no, that's a squirrel. And I said, you are so caught up in being brainwashed by the filth and slime of the New World Order. It's not a squirrel. It's obviously a lizard Jew. Then they shot it and I ate it and it was delicious. I'm not afraid to when I make a mistake, I'm not afraid to admit it, friends. It's no mistake, though, to have these two wonderful guests, Brett Vinat and Taryn Lupo, both former co-hosts of the Wheels Off Liberty, joining us tonight as we expose Jamie Crane and Mike Maddox for the shills of the New World Order that they are. Where do we leave off, friends? I need to go back to you or Taryn, Brett.
This is the point that Mike Maddox enters the story. Mike Maddox is an octopus. You know, he has tentacles reaching out in all different aspects of intelligence agencies all over the world. He has connections to these secret societies, these bizarre eyes wide shut style sex cults that I think eventually you were talking about that a little bit, how he got Jamie into this with the pigs.
Jamie wasn't the only one.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, they sucked us in. They sucked it. They said, while we're taking down libertarianism, let's do little pet projects called Brett Vinat and Taryn Lupo's lives.
So basically, Brett Vinat, I know it's painful. Taryn Lupo, you've always come clean. There was a time when you were both fucking pigs and chickens.
I had a separate set of problems. That was just Taryn.
Yeah, I really don't want to remember that magical night as much as you guys want to talk about it. I mean, there's a video.
I think, Taryn, we should probably continue this off-site later, off the show. Meet me in my campsite later, and we'll continue this discussion. Well, Brett, can you please go on with the shill that is Mike Maddox and inform us of the details of this horrific story?
Mike Maddox is brought into the project to steer it where it needs to go. Using Jamie Crane as the sort of mouthpiece of Wheels Off Liberty, like everyone said, Jamie Crane is the star and Mike is like the second fiddle. Mike Maddox is running the show the whole time. And here's their little trick. This is what they do. Jamie is very impressionable. He's very open to suggestion. So Mike will say something like, Jamie, talk about liberty for 2 minutes, but then talk about having sex with a duck-billed platypus and buying coke on the internet and midget hookers for 5 minutes. And that 2 minutes just disappears, and those things become associated with this. So we have, you know, buying drugs, promiscuous sex. These guys almost...
Desensitization of our children is what it is.
Well, what they did is they almost brought down, you know, the Free State Project through this podcast because... Those people in New Hampshire, they don't do drugs. They don't engage in promiscuous sexual behavior. Those are implanted ideas from Wheels Off Liberty podcast.
In my whole time of being here, I have to say, this has been the most clean living, fun loving, at the heart of it, just getting deep into the eyes of God community that I've ever seen. No chemicals, no drinking. It's like a bunch of Quakers that I've been with here this week.
Well... I mean, look at the type of damage that Jamie Crane and Mike Maddox did together. You have people like Bob Mervey and Stefan Molyneux sitting there going, what you drinking on? You know, what the heck happened to this movement?
And we're talking about brilliant, brilliant minds. I want to take a break real quick. I can hear the music in my head along with the voices. And I want to take a quick break, and I'm going to bring up another former individual involved with the Wheels Off Liberty. Thanks for being here for our live emergency broadcast. I'm Alex Jones. Hi, friends. I'm Alex Jones. Asking you one simple question. Is your water pure and free of poisons? Even if you drink bottled water, contaminants remain. But that's really not important to me. What is that you drink my juice, AJ Juice, pumped fresh by me, Alex Jones. If you care about your family's safety as they tremble on their knees, give them my juice for a burst of warm love in their mouths. AJ Juice, now with extra protein, made fresh by me, Alex Jones. Well, we're back once again. Don't forget about Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. You can purchase a whole bunch of things in both of those websites. I don't really understand them. That's why I have my great staff here who continually bring in the nice gold to keep me and my family very rich. We're talking tonight to Brett Vinott and Taryn Lupo, both former co-hosts of the Wheels Off Liberty, who through all of my research, oh, I know they're the insiders, but it was my research that exposed them for the shills of the New World Order that they are, one Jamie Crane and one Mike Maddox. And along with Brett Vinott and along with Taryn Lupo, there is a third name closely associated with Wheels Off Liberty. That name is George Mandrick. George Mandrick, can you take a moment, please, and come to the stage? I don't care if you're shilling your burgers or your gyros or whatever else thing it is, George. Please come up. George Mandrick making his way to the stage right now. I think many of you have taken advantage of his high-quality products throughout the week. George, if you wouldn't mind having a seat with both Brett and Taryn, it'd be wonderful. Yes, George Mandrick. How many of you have eaten his food this week?
That's right.
Excellent.
You like that, AJ.
We'll get to that in just a moment. George Mandrick, how did you first get involved with the Wheels Off Liberty?
Oh, you know, I just heard them doing an interview on Free Talk Live, and I was like, wow, these guys are pretty cool. So I thought, you know, maybe I'd sponsor them with my business. You know, good friends of mine. I talk to Jamie all the time still.
So you bought right in to the filth and the slime and the evils that were Wheels Off Liberty. You didn't have a discernible thought in your mind to go against that?
Instead, you started throwing
money at them?
I just like dick and fart jokes.
You know, I think it might be a possibility that George Mandrick himself is a shill of the New World Order.
Oh, come on. Come on,
you
now.
Middle Eastern lizard Jew.
Middle Eastern?
Who have been poisoning everyone with your genetically modified baklava all week long. Get off my stage. Get off my show.
That's it?
You have nothing else to add to this.
On,
nothing else to add to this. Get off my stage. Give the microphone back to Taryn Lupo.
Oh, now that was uncomfortable. The truth is, you went a little overboard there, but he is Pakistani.
I never go overboard. I'm Alex Jones. And if I do go overboard, I admit to it. In fact, I'm going to check my records. I've never admitted to it, but I know that I probably would.
Well, I know we're about to run out of time here, but Mandrick is, it was discovered that he was Pakistani intelligence, and he was the one who sucked me in and said, you should do the show with Jamie Crane, and that's how I was involved. And that's how I joined Taryn, you know, kind of committing this career suicide.
He really dumbed me down eating all that GMO food and the fluoride he makes me drink.
My podcast used to have hundreds of thousands of downloads a week. Not anymore.
They ruined your reputation and your life.
Yeah.
I know the same thing happened to you, Taryn. That's conspiracy runs much deeper than even I, Alex Jones, have found. I want to thank both Taryn Lupo and Brett Vinott for being here for this emergency broadcast tonight, live from Porkfest 2012. But, of course, we have to thank our sponsors as well. It's the way that through all of my hard work and my labors, which go thankless each and every day as I'm in here fixing the plumbing in this building and taking your phone calls and saving you from the New World Order, and I get nothing but thankless. I'm sorry, I get a little bit out of control. I'm Alex Jones. Hi, friends. I'm Alex Jones, wondering if you're ready for the takeover by the New World Order. The Rothschilds and Bilderbergs want to depopulate the Earth, and their energies and their eugenics plan will leave you with erectile dysfunction. From genetically modified foods to poison in your water, you'll be left impotent and unable to procreate. That's why I, Alex Jones, recommend the new natural supplement, Jack and Jones Cobra. It replenishes your body and will bring back your natural abilities. It worked for me, Alex Jones, wanting you to try Jack and Jones Cobra. Let's fight the New World Order together with boners.
Thank you very much, everybody. This is the end of Wheels Off Liberty. So please do this. If you enjoyed this event tonight more than any episodes you can remember of Wheels Off Liberty, tell Jamie Crane about it on his Facebook page, please. Thank you. Have a good night.
Love, love.
Friends, it's me, Alex Jones, again. I'm not supposed to be on this stage, but I went against what the shills of the New World Order told me because I had to miss one of my very important emergency broadcast advertisements to keep myself and my family fed. Before we get to this so-called roast, which is probably going to be labeled with the filth and the slime and the vile, disgusting natures of the New World Order, I want to tell you about a product that your family can't live without. If the New World Order takes over tomorrow, will your family's food needs be met? Well, our friends at Instafood.com care about you, and that's why they've introduced Mega Meat. Mega Meat is dehydrated and easy to take in your mouth all at once for survival on the run. I'm Alex Jones, and during this special radio offer, if you call now, I'll give you a personal sample of my Mega Meat, good for your whole family. Call 1-800-BEAT-THIS-MEAT to try my meat in your mouth. It's 1-800-BEAT-THIS-MEAT. I'm Alex Jones, putting Mega Meat in the mouths of your family. And now, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Bob Murphy.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's really a shame because that's really a good impression and there's just like the only crowd that's really effective in. Thank you, everyone. Welcome to the second annual Liberty Roast. I am your MC, Bob Murphy. Now, I want to be clear about something. This is a sort of serious announcement. Porkfest, we welcome you to bring children to it. It is a family-friendly event. However, this particular event, if you brought young kids in here, you chose poorly, okay? So this is, seriously, this is rated R. Back when Jamie Crane was participating, it would have been NC-17. But for tonight, it is clearly R-rated, that being serious, so we'll feel awkward if there's little 8-year-olds learning new words tonight. All right, so that is a serious announcement. So we are all here except for Carla. I guess she's out doing presidential things or something. If anyone sees Carla, tell her to get her ass on stage since she's supposed to go first. In the meantime, These are your roasters, and I'd like to introduce the star of tonight's event, the beast from the east, the hardest drinking man in New Hampshire. It is Chris the freaking Giant Lawless! All right, apparently he has been in detox mode for the last 24 hours. And like a trained hamster, every time he says something funny, he gets a sip, all right? So we're going to see if a little behaviorism works on him. All right, so how many people went to the roast last year? Okay. Now, Carla's... whatever the heck that was last year, it was clear that many people don't know what a roast is. For those of you who didn't see, Carla basically got up here, and this was her ostensible roast of Stefan Molyneux. She's like,
Oh my gosh, guys, I'm so happy you all came to Borkfest, the Free State Project. Right now, I feel like the luckiest girl in the whole world.
All right. So, in. Oh, and there she is. All right. Thank goodness. Because I was having to decide, do I insult her if she's not here? It's just not as fun. All right. Carla, glad you could join us. No, come on up, right here. Apparently, Carla's on Central Time.
The one woman on stage is right here. Yeah. Right here.
Okay, where? So I'm glad Carla's here because, Carla, I prepared a little clinic for you. Sit. Oh, did you not see these guys yet? You know who they are? Okay, great. Hi, guys. What's up? What are you doing up here? Something going on? Okay. I want to prepare a little clinic for Carla just to make sure she understands how these things work. Okay, so this is what's called a roast. The point of this is we're going to insult Christopher Lawless, okay? So it's not because we're mean. It's not because we're jerks. It's to show him that we really love him, okay? So let me just, again, for those of you who don't know, I used to be a college professor, so this may be a bit pedantic at times. I apologize, but when I see someone wallowing in abject ignorance, I feel the need to educate. All right, so let me just walk through a little, like, do's and don'ts, okay? So, I don't know. All right. Okay. Lawless, you suck! Okay, now, analysis. Everyone likes his own brand, huh? Okay, analysis. What was good about that? Okay, it was an insult. Check, all right? So already I'm ahead of the game compared to what Carla did last year. Okay, next. It was true. Lawless does, in fact, suck, right? Okay. So truth is very important to comedy. Often you want to exaggerate the truth for full comedic effect, but truth is important, all right? The problem, though, with that is that it was fairly generic, right? Yeah, Lawless sucks, but I mean, that's not very clever. You know, to get up here, hey, guys, I'm glad to be here at Parkfest. 2 + 2 = 4. The sun's hot. And Lawless sucks. Am I right? See, it's not very funny. Okay, so what we're striving for is a higher degree of specificity in the insults. All right, let me try again. All right, no. Okay. Lawless, you're so ugly. If Ron Paul had delivered you, he'd be pro-choice. Guys, please, we're on a schedule here, guys. Come on. Okay. Analysis. All right. What was good about that? Okay. Insult. Check. True statement. Right. He is, in fact, ugly as sin. Check. Okay. More specific. Right. See there. I didn't just say that he sucked. I told you why he sucked. Right. Does everyone see that? Okay. Carla, are you writing this down? She's going, if you screw up the whole roast, I'm going to be so pissed off. All right. Okay. But the problem there, though, as good as that one was, is see, it's not something over which Lawless has that much control, right? I mean, he can't really control how ugly he is. I mean, sure, he can't dress. He obviously hasn't taken care of his body over the years. But when you think about it, it's not Chris's fault that back in 1947, there was a man giant and a woman giant. And they loved each other very much and decided to make a baby giant. All right, so it's not really his fault. We're sort of like making fun of his DNA or something. You call that a double helix? See, it's not very funny. All right, so let me try again. Okay. All right. Hey, Lawless. Are you paying attention? All right. You did such a poor job hosting the roast last year. You made Taryn Lupo seem funny. Okay. Analysis. All right. Insult, check. Now, what I actually did there, for those of you who are overachievers, was what's known as a twofer, right? One insult, two recipients, all right? Don't try this at home. Second point, it was true, right? Lawless did, in fact, suck last year hosting the roast. And Taryn Lupo, though funny relative to Lawless in an absolute sense, was not funny at all, right? Okay, specific, yes, I didn't just say they sucked, I said why they sucked, okay. But most importantly, and why it was a fair thing to say, and what we're striving for tonight, is that it was something over which they had control, right? Lawless didn't need to get so hammered last year that he broke a chair. But he chose to, right? By the same token, Taryn Lupo could write funny jokes if he really wanted to, but he chooses not to. Okay? Now, So now that we all understand the way this thing works, let me also be clear. So we're going to be making fun of each other. That's true. We're also going to be taking shots at people in the crowd. I don't want anyone to be surprised and shocked, okay? So, I don't know, for example, we've got a celebrity couple in the crowd, right? We've got JJ and Allie Havens, right? Everyone know that? Woo! All right. JJ, I think I speak for everyone when I say, dude, you could do so much better than Allie. Right? A guy with your looks. All right. When we make the video of this, I think we should put up a picture of both of them, two headshots, just to make sure everyone gets the joke. What? I'm complimenting his looks. What? Why are you guys laughing? All right, is Austin Peterson here yet? Is he here? Well, I'll make fun of him anyway. So Austin Peterson used to be a producer for Judge Napolitano's show. When he's coming tomorrow, he's going to give a talk on how we can best get out libertarian ideas, like how we can affect the culture. I haven't talked to Austin. I don't know if this is going to be in his presentation. I'm imagining, though, the first bullet point's going to be, if you have a hit TV show, don't get canceled. I would think that that would be job one. I'm just a layperson. I don't know. I would just, that's off the top of my head. Okay. Enough with the pleasantries. Let's get going. Are you guys ready for this? What do you guys think you're at a golf tournament or something? And now, Tiger at the 17th. I said, are you guys ready for this? All right, then. What? Okay, our next roaster is somebody, my personal friend. I don't really have too much to say about the young man. What I will say is this kid used to be hardcore. He was down at the Mises Institute. You should have seen him. He had chains. He was all goth. And he weighed like 50 pounds more. And then he went to GMU and now is just a disgusting person and just, you know, wears a tweed jacket, smokes a pipe. And what would Karl Popper have to say about this issue? And so if you want to understand, you know, we really can isolate, you know, the cause and effect of what happens when you go to GMU, you can see before and after with this guy. Let's put your hands together for Daniel D'Amico!
Yeah, a lot of people are probably wondering why I got to participate in this roast, given that, like, I don't know any of you people. But the best explanation is some guy, Curtis, Facebook messaged me when I was high in my underpants, and I just agree to stuff. But I first found out about the Free State Project when I was in undergrad, and it sounded really cool. And then I didn't really hear that much about it until a few years ago. I saw this kid in a T-shirt with Carla's face on it. And I thought, neat, that Free State Project got this righteous drag queen to be their president. And then last year when I started telling some friends that that I was going to come out, they were like, oh, well, what do you think of Stephen Molyneux? And admittedly, at the time, I was like, well, I've seen a lot of YouTube videos that Stephen Molyneux has made, and I've got to say, these Lilliputians seem like jaunty fellows. But then I'd seen a lot of YouTube videos that Stephen Molyneux was in, and I thought he was kind of insane. But admittedly, it took very little to change my belief regarding his sanity if I just made a slight adjustment in all of the videos that he was in. And it was just that every time he would say the word philosopher, I would hear YouTube dude in my head. And don't get me wrong, I like a lot more YouTube dudes than I do philosophers. So, speaking of YouTube and being in the liberty movement, My father, like with the Ron Paul thing, he was like, oh, this is great, we're gonna change the world. And I was like, okay, cool. And then he'll email me clips, of stuff that he finds interesting that relates to Austrian economics. And I'm like, yeah, Dad, I wrote that. But the last thing he sent me was a videotape of Bob Murphy with his shirt off, challenging Paul Krugman to a duel, and it just had this, no text, just a subject line that said, do you know this asshole? I haven't spoken to him since. Chris, we're supposed to be making fun of you, but admittedly, I don't know you that well. I couldn't even explain to this little girl that asked me early today, why do they call him the Ron Paul giant? I was like, I don't know. Last, I just want to say, for all of you guys who know, it's Pete Iroh's birthday tonight. And he's trying to sell these tickets to win Marv, which everybody should go up to him, buy a ticket, buy 100. But what many people don't know is that he has this, like, side pile of stuff to give away as well, including these beefcake calendars that he once posted. And I told him, I said, Pete, I actually think that this could be a better money-making scheme. Why don't you just open auction these? And he said he would, but he was afraid that Taryn Lupo and Chris Lawless would get in a bidding war and, like, $30,000 a piece, and he would feel really uncomfortable about taking that money. But I'm going to turn it back over to Bob.
Dan D'Amico, all right. Okay, our next roaster is as bald as me, and I like that. Now, this guy, let me just get something off my chest. How many of you saw the roast last year? Okay, now, so for those of you who missed it, you lucked out. So we're going through, I mean, that thing was like, what, 2.5 hours long, but it only felt like 6. And so we're going through, and we're all, the moment we've all been waiting for, we've all been coming up with material, making fun of stuff. We're like, what's he going to say about us? What's he going to say? And this guy gets up, and he's like, would you all like to hear me give a speech? And he treated it like it was his podcast. And we really, and the premise, he was like, what would people 50 years from now say about us? And like, oh, I think they would say, Stefan, do you know how a roast works? I think that's what they would say. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, the thing about Stefan is he's really done well for himself for being a pseudo-philosopher. And oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. That was rude. His actual title is quasi-philosopher, right? It says that right on his business card. It says, Stefan Molyneux, I fix hard drives. Oh, wait, that was the old business card. There's a big black magic marker X. You flip it over. Stefan Molyneux, quasi-philosopher. And he's got his new slogan. You guys know what his slogan is? I hate your parents, too. So, all right, everyone. Without further ado, let's give it up for Stefan Molyneux.
Thank you, Bob. How are you doing? Well, it's been a difficult evening for me. I just want to, you know, take the energy down completely. Hey, no, don't laugh. It throws me off. No, because there was one thing that I asked from Bob. Just one thing that I asked from Bob tonight. Sit me at least 8 to 10 feet from Adam's biceps. Because these noodle-ass Canadian arms just can't compete. So, look, I want my $8 back. Look, I love me some Christopher Lawless. It's hard for me to even think of saying anything negative about this hero. He actually, true story, he was the first guy to give me a break. In the 2009 Liberty Forum, he said, Steph, come down and be our closing speaker. I'm like, you know I'm a fucking podcaster, right? What, the Marvin the Martian is busy. You can't get the Jared guy.
Actually,
from the
I had no idea who the fuck you were.
Oh, good. Well, that would explain the choice. That would explain the choice. But it was great. And what happened was, so I did a speech which was really enjoyable. I'd not actually met Christopher beforehand, and afterwards he sort of came up to say, "The fuck was that?" And I hadn't met him before, so you know, the room darkens, you know, as it was wont to do. I'm like, is it a fucking eclipse? What the hell? Is it the end times? It's like, no, he's just standing behind me. And he had one of these god-awful Hawaiian shirts on. And you know, actually, for Chris, they're called Hawaiian shirts not because of the pattern, but because they're about the size of Hawaii. Anyway, so this is my experience. I'm going to take you on a journey, my friends. This is my experience of meeting Christopher Lawless for the very first time. The room goes dark. I turn around. Fuck, that's a bright shirt. And you want to be polite, you know, you don't want to be like, get thee behind me, you know? You want to be polite, so your eyes are Canadian and wide and they're watering. And then it's like, I couldn't help myself. I'm thinking, that's a big fucking belly button. This was my impulse. Echo. Echo. I just wanted to see how long it would be for the sound to come back. And my next impulse I wanted to go in. I wanted to jack that belly fat up and go in to Chris Lawless. So I did, in my mind. So I'm looking around, I'm finding lots of Liberty fluff. Some coins. Probably
silver, of course.
Probably a kid or two who's regressing. And then I hear a voice. Who the fuck is in Chris Lawless? Is that Ron Paul? I knew how that little fucker got around. He's not just the big Russian doll that Ron Paul pops out of. I think he's the campaign bus. It's really, really easy to get him across the border until they scan him. What the fuck is inside you, Ron Paul? Okay. This is not at all what I planned to say, by the way. I just got the fuck going. I've got this. Why am I even? Fuck it. Anyway. So then we didn't see each other for a while. And he was a perfectly gracious host. And then I was sitting in this chair last year. I guess most of you were here as well. And I'm going to take you on another journey, which is my view of my roast. Okay, you have to expand
it's
this
a lot
in your
bigger
mind's
than
eye
that.
So that it looks like two fucking Death Stars fighting in a tent. And they're going back and forth. There you go. Oh, look at that.
Now you know what
and
it's
people
like
say, how many
fun
children do you have? And I say, one. And they say, why? It's because I saw that for 2 hours. And I cannot get it up anymore. So this was my view for 2 fucking hours. These things weaving back and forth, getting progressively more and more gin-sodden. And I'm thinking, Chris Lawless, fine, but the law of gravity is still going to apply when these two bastards come down, and they're coming down. And so the last thing, this was really, I mean, I would not be here to tell you this entirely true tale if I had not done one thing to save, I really do believe, my life. So these manly castanets are going back and forth. And then they start to, you know, they're really starting. I'm like, fuck, I'm doomed. How am I going to explain this at the border? But at least I'll have a nice chat with Ron Paul. Sorry, I enjoyed that one. Anyway, so Ron Paul, it's rumbling. Run! Anyway. Have we had any Ron Paul up Chris Lawless's ass jokes? We haven't had enough of those. Anyway, so this ass is coming down. You know, it's like the opening of Phantom of the Opera with the chandelier. You know this bastard's coming down, right? Because it's just there's only so much beer on the planet, and most of it's in that belly. And so what I said to save my life, I whispered one little thing very urgently, very strenuously, and with all the passion of my soon-to-be-demolished frame. Chris! That chair is the state! Bang! And then we were free. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Stefan Molyneux!
Okay, our next roaster is going to be Brett. Now, let me just tell you a really quick story about Brett. We're a little bit behind schedule, so let me tell you a quick story about Brett. So last year, how many of you saw the interview with the zombie that we did up here? Okay, my sincere apologies. Let me tell you what happened with that. So he who shall not be named had convinced me that it would be cool if I, you know, dressed up as a zombie and whatever. And the girl who did that, by the way, was Abby, and people were giving her a hard time. It was because I brought the stuff, right? Because I flew through, I had to go through TSA, so that's why it didn't look good. Also, people are giving her a hard time because she called herself Abby Minarchist, but that's because her real name is Abby Torkelson, and so that's why she changed her name. Some of you know her on Facebook. That's funny. Okay, so with Brett, the thing that happened is we're up here. Jason Osborne thought that it would be funny if we all are doing this interview with a zombie. So I'm the zombie, and it was Jamie and Taryn and Brett. And the skit is just dying. It's awful. And the thing is, you know, Jamie's hammered, so he doesn't even recognize what's going on. You know, Taryn is used to not being funny, so he was fine with it. And but Brett here is getting mad, right? Because he can, you know, he's got some standards. He can recognize that we're dying up here. So halfway through the skit, he just drops character, and he looks at me, and he's like, "You're just staring at us. You're barely saying anything." Let's think about that for a second. It's true, Brett. Now that I think back about my behavior during that sketch, I was barely saying anything and just looking at you guys. It was almost like I was acting like a, what's that word? A zombie! All right. You didn't know. Well, you know, I work with a serious professional like Tom Woods. I'm giving one-word answers, you know? Racism, slavery, and everyone's favorite book, right? With Brett here, it was really, he wanted a zombie soliloquy, I suppose. So let me turn it over now to Brett. How do you say your last name?
Vinat.
Vinat, my good buddy, Brett Vinat.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen and creeps. Get ready for something that's a little less eloquent than the last presenter. My name is Brett. I'm not really into roasts. This is not really my kind of humor. I was told or asked to come up here and do a favor for a friend. Jamie Crane could not be here. He wrote to me a couple weeks ago, and he said, "I just don't have the life skills required to get to Porkfest with just 9 months' notice." But he really likes people to hear his little jokes, so he said, "I'll send you a care package, and if you just go up there and read them, it would be great." So the package has been with a Porkfest organizer right there. Oh, by the way, this was supposed to be announced at the beginning of the show. Taryn Lupo, if he approaches anyone here this weekend with a toolbox and asks you to saw off his hand or one of his legs at the knee or poke out one of his eyes, tell him no, firmly, and then find Ruby. She is taking care of him until he gets over this whole "I'm a real pirate" thing. Now, it started harmlessly enough. He was like, "I like to write stories about pirates." And then he said, "I like to dress like a pirate." And then we see on Facebook, there's a parrot, there's this beard, and this has like a real like piratey self-mutilation trajectory to it. So keep an eye on him. You can be supportive, but not enabling. So Jamie's two conditions were that I read all of his jokes and I not look at them ahead of time, so I'm going to open this right now. This is a Jamie Crane care package. If you ever order anything from the Wheels Off Liberty store, let's see what you get. This is interesting. Condom. Yeah, yeah. Would you like to volunteer? He thought of everything. He's got a good heart. All right, here come those jokes. Holy shit, here we go. So have you guys heard about bitcoins? Yeah! It's an exciting new alternative currency that everyone is really excited about. Is that a real sentence? It's an exciting new alternative currency that everyone is really excited about. Yeah! Ian Freeman has been one of the biggest cheerleaders for these things, and it's also been a real trailblazer. In fact, Ian started using bitcoins to get the things he wanted back when they were just called blowjobs. It says here parenthetically, I don't know if I'm supposed to read this out loud. It says, "Dude,
Make sure that you tell everyone that when Ian was a kid, he gave another kid a blowjob in trade for a video game that he wanted. I don't know if that story is actually true, but tell it anyway. It will be greatness. This one isn't even a joke. When George W. Bush... Are there any kids here? Please tell me there's no kids here. I saw a girl that I had been tutoring who was 11 years old wandering around a half an hour ago. I hope she's not here. It will undo a month of good work that we did together. When George W. Bush was the governor of Texas, he used to fuck little Mexican boys that he found on the street and then force the boys to take his last name. Isn't that right, John Bush? Folks, I didn't write these. Carla Garrick and Jason Osborne are total elitists, and their new one strike and you're out policy for banning people from Porkfest clearly shows that. Oh, in Oklahoma, 4 years of mooching, trolling, lying, squatting, cheating, and welching counts as one strike. This is a roast, folks. And while we're on the subject of reptilian shapeshifters, these might be out of order, or maybe he left a few out. Maybe it's for the best. All right. And while we're on the subject of reptilian shapeshifters, look at little Stefan Malinakakakakakis. Spelled phonetically. Interesting. M-O-L-Y-N-O hyphen C-K hyphen C-K hyphen C-K hyphen X. This dude has the balls to show up as a keynote speaker at Liberty events all over North America. Well, there's a video of him on YouTube accidentally shape-shifting into his true lizard form. And isn't it interesting how he's always telling everyone to examine their childhoods and to do what is necessary to live consistently with voluntarist principles and all that shit? Sounds like someone is trying to make a whole bunch of distracting busy work for us when we should all be on YouTube trying to find other New World Order infiltrators and controllers accidentally morphing into their true reptilian form. Sorry, Stefan, this crowd doesn't live in the past. We live in the solution. So Pete and Ademo are auctioning off Marv. Everyone should go and bid on it. And if you win, you can use it for camping. Start your own Liberty Tour or just keep it as a collector's item. If you're into collecting vehicles where enormous amounts of hot, hot, closeted gay sex have taken place. The kind of person who looks at Adam Kokesh's beard, again, spelled phonetically with four E's. The kind of person who looks at Adam Kokesh's beard and says, what could possibly be the point of that, is just a person who hasn't heard the good news. The beard is actually a requirement for the big comeback of Adam versus the Man. He's moving the show from Russia Today to Al Jazeera. We're all rooting for you, Adam. Death to America. The kind of person who looks at Adam Kokesh's beard and says, oh wow, the Unabomber is out of jail, is just a person who doesn't know the difference between Ted Kaczynski and Adam Kokesh. Ted Kaczynski sent bombs through the mail. Adam Kokesh just bombs at roasts. I didn't write these.
Nostradamus.
This one just looks like a note for me. It says, don't do any jokes about Angela Keaton. Then later when she's drunk, follow her back to her hotel room. Follow her back to her hotel room and say, hey, remember how I laid off you at the roast as you take your pants off? She'll know what to do from there. You're welcome. Raise your hand if Mandrick has told you about his penis. Oh, hold on. It says, wait for it. Raise your hand if Mandrick has told you about his penis. It's unanimous. These aren't even jokes. And now we come to the man that we're all here to honor, Chris Lawless. The truth is, I know as much about this guy as you do, almost nothing. Number one, he's really big. And number two, he got extremely drunk at the event last year. Since jokes about these things will get completely stale very quickly, I would like to do them in song form. I have included some lyrics and some sheet music. Fuck.
I'm not musical. This is a lot of build-up. Sorry. All right, I suppose I'm supposed to do this in some kind of shitty southern accent.
Chris Lawless is so much taller than you and me and anyone who is some kind of Chinese.
Chinese has a hyphen in it. That must be an Oklahoma thing.
And tonight, Chris Lawless will get drunker than all of us, and he'll do significant, damage to campground property.
When people play the guitar like this, is it customary to clap? Like rhythmically? Are you fucking kidding? Come on. No, that's at the end. Wait, all right. It's ruined. It's ruined.
Right about now, Chris Lawless stands and turns his back to all of us, and he pulls out his dick and shows it to little Adam Kokesh.
Who did you show it to?
Tara Lupo!
It was just his pinky. No, don't panic. It's okay. It was just his pinky.
All right. What happens? It says here, go back to the cards at this point where he shows his dick to little Adam Kokesh, as he calls him. And then from there, it doesn't even rhyme anymore. It just kind of goes into like a description of one guy giving another guy a hand job. some stick figure drawings. It moves to the VIP tent. I think we learned a lot about this guy tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not Jamie Crane. Take care.
Let's give it up for Brett and for Jamie Crane. Woo!
Now, it's kind of funny because Brett had no idea what was coming, and yet all this stuff was set up beforehand. It's kind of interesting. What are the chances?